Hello, my friends, and good Monday morning to you. Thank you so much for stopping by today and spending just a little bit of time with us. My name is Roger, and behind the scenes is my wife, Angie. Together, we're the Barnabas Bridge. Our prayer always when we come together like this is that you and I, and Angie, of course, we walk away from this time in God's Word and just kind of pulling truths out of Scripture. We walk away feeling more encouraged as we go about our life and in this world. We always pick a topic for the week, and this time we're going to call it Out in the Margins. And let me define that just a bit. What I'm talking about in the margins is like a document, where the document it has the main body inside of a measurement. And in that main body, that's the real story. That's the important stuff. But then out in the margins often, I don't know if you're like me, I often write little tiny notes. They're kind of anecdotal, and it's not the important stuff, but it's something I might mention or something I might want to keep in mind, but it's not really part of the main text. It just doesn't fit in there. It's not part of the main body. It's not part of the important stuff. It's just a footnote. And you know, that's okay for a document, and that's normal. But unfortunately, what happens sometimes is we do that in life to people. Sometimes people are feeling like they are out in the margins, like they've been left behind and left out of the main story, the main text, the big story, and that they really aren't that important, where they might get included and where they might not. They're not part of the main flow of life, and for whatever reason, they're most certainly not part of the important stuff, the in crowd. This whole week, I'd like to kind of make the point, and I think you'll agree with me, that if we're looking at the main text of the story in people sense, relationships, part of life, and the footnotes, the outside, out in the margins, sometimes we are in one or the other, but most of the times, I think, depending on the situation that we're in, we feel a little bit part of both. And so what I'd like to do this week is really look at how God addresses that truth and that issue. And you know, I think that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, if we kind of look at that real close, we would look at that entire passage, and that guarantees us that what we were once, we're no longer. In fact, we've been invited into the main story by Jesus Christ. And so in that, God is working in us and through us in order that we might respond to His good purpose. And we take the story, His story, to others and include them inside the margins. One of the great passages, I think, to get us going this week is in Matthew chapter 9. Now, we're going to be reading about somebody that you're very familiar with, Matthew. And he's one of the apostles, of course. He was Jesus' inner circle. He was one of the 12 that Jesus first called, come follow me. But the story, the backstory to Matthew is that Matthew was a tax collector. Now, I know that you've heard that many times in reference to Jesus' time on earth, because the tax collectors were, what they were was they were Jewish men who were working more or less for the Roman occupiers of Israel. What they would do is they would make sure that the taxation that Rome imposed on the Jewish people, they would make sure that it was collected and then given over to Rome. Now, if we talk about someone who wasn't part of the main text, the main story, who was definitely out in the margins, pushed out there by people who didn't think he belonged, it was Matthew. A tax collector in those days would have really, I would imagine, by and large, been just ostracized, not just by society, but probably his family as well. Many folks would have looked at him as an outright enemy of each other, a traitor even. And so Matthew was not part of the main story. Matthew was out in the margins. And so one day he's sitting in his tax collector's booth and he's doing his business. Now, I imagine that when people walked by, they would look at him and make sure that every single day as they passed by his tax collector's booth, that he remembered that he wasn't part of their story, that he wasn't important to them. In fact, they wanted nothing to do with him. And then along comes Jesus. And this is the story. As Jesus went on, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. What a beautiful beginning of the story, isn't it? Imagine the dozens of people that had walked by that morning had already made Matthew remember, "You're not part of us." But here comes this man named Jesus that Matthew would have already heard about, who is full of love and full of grace and full of truth and full of healing and compassion. And he met eyes with Matthew and he said, "Follow me." And because Matthew, you just know, because that's the way we all are, Matthew has always yearned and wanted to be part of the main story. It didn't seem like he hesitated at all, but he stood up and he began to follow Jesus. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Here was the in crowd. And they didn't want this kind of person being invited in. They wanted to keep the story focused on themselves. They wanted to keep their part in the story as the stars. And Jesus said that's no longer going to be the way it is. In fact, everyone is invited. Verse 12, on hearing this, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Jesus desires mercy, not sacrifice. It's not the pedigree we have or our ability to stay in the limelight. It's not our work. It's not our self-justification. It's not what the others in the story are saying that builds our egos up. No, not at all. It's the mercy that we have to those who are in the margins. Our desire to reach out to them and bring their souls into the main story. Jesus did that day. He brought Matthew into his inner circle. And so he brought this man who was ostracized by everybody he knew out of the margins and into the greatest story ever told. And that is salvation and inclusion through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He brings us who were once enemies of his, just like Matthew was an enemy of all of the Jewish people. We too were enemies of God. But Jesus walks into our lives and he says, "Come, follow me." I imagine for a lot of you who are watching and listening today, there was a time in your life when you heard those words, perhaps not literally, but figuratively. You knew who Jesus was. You heard of his compassion and his grace. And in many ways, he really did walk into your life. And when he did, your heart just lifted because your soul had been longing for that connection, that invitation all of your life. I think this is going to be an exciting week because we understand that Jesus has freed us and he has brought us into the main script of the story of his life with him. And now he is instructing us and encouraging us to take his message of deliverance, that story, to others who are just as much in the margins as we once were. That's what we're going to talk about this week. And so I hope that you're able to come back and spend each morning, Monday through Friday this week, and we're going to talk about being out in the margins, how we are sometimes, how others are sometimes, and how we can all get back into the main story, and that is the one of salvation through Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for stopping in. Let's say a prayer and we'll get out there and we'll see what we can do about getting this story rolling in the streets of your town. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this Monday morning with us and here at the Barnabas Bridge and our friends out there listening in. We're prayerful that this week is not just something that we do as a routine on the mornings of our week. But instead, it is just one more thing that we use that our desire to grow closer to you. So let that be so, God, that as we spend time hungering and thirsting after your word, that we grow closer to you and much, much more like you. We pray these things in the name of the King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Take care, friends, and have a great day, God willing. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.